Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to Jenkins Church this morning. Let's take just a few minutes. Greet your neighbor. If you see somebody that you haven't seen before or haven't seen in a while, be sure and greet them. Let's just take a few minutes, please.
We have
them out of town yet,
so
be sure and say hello. Okay. I know we do have some visitors. Lewis? Wonderful. Glad to have you. Are there other visitors this morning?
Brother Jim is kind of a visitor, but he's been here before. And then Rich is with his mom's dad. So, but he's kind of a neighbor, too. He's a neighbor.
Well, we're very glad to have you all with us this morning. And I believe Joyce has handed out the registration booklets. Everybody, please be sure and register your attendance this morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? I know Sonia has one. I'll go ahead and get started with her. Okay, Steve.
Chucky.
They're all younger than us.
Go ahead. Young you.
They're all younger than us. On the 30th. Yeah, be sure and mark your calendar. That is, we'll do one service that morning.
9:30.
At 9:30, and that is on the 30th.
Young, you.
Okay.
That
Are there any other announcements?
The temperature. I came in this morning. I see sun fanning, and I'm kind of hot, but I came in this morning. It's 63 in here. And I knew that Peggy was going to be cold, and she was the first one here, okay? Her and her husband, who he wouldn't throw another log on the fire. So I don't know what it is now, but Louis, you may want, I didn't even touch this one, but this one over here, you may want to check that, because he worked on that, or somebody else that wants to. But it's one of those periods of time that at 8 o'clock or 7:30 is going to be cool, but by 9 o'clock we're going to be. So I don't know what to do. Just suffer, I guess.
I do want to remind everybody about our Wednesday night services, and there's a little area in your bulletin if you are going to attend. They do have dinner before, and please be sure and register so they prepare enough food for that.
And please be sure, we almost ran out. I cut the portions of the lasagna down. We had enough, but... almost equal number of adults worshiping too, so it's not, yeah, right.
That's correct.
A little different.
Any other announcements?
Sam will speak this Wednesday.
Okay, prayer or praise request?
Prayer request. Sonia's brother passed away. And I guess she slipped out, but Sonia Haywood's brother, his name was Kenny Kindred, and he was buried Friday in Indiana. And we didn't make a lot of calls because they were going Friday, and we knew about the time that they got back in town that we would be here to tell you at church. So the family of Kenny Kindred, he had Lou Gehrig's disease, and I've never heard anything good about that. Your mind keeps it going and your body wastes away. Is that right? Or quits functioning. So, let's stand up. Also, a friend of mine, seminary college in the ministry, Cordell Smith, is back in the hospital, and his thing that keeps his heart going keeps going off. And so he's in the hospital this week. Susie, do I remember Susie that used to lead our singing years and years and years ago? About three of us would remember Susie. Her Billingsley, her mama is T. Susie Billingsley, and they live down close to Eagleville. Got word this week that she was having some real problems. So this is T. Billingsley. I mean, it's T-E-E. That's short for something else, maybe. But and then Schuler. Teresa Schuler's mom is Ms. Henry. I think it's T. Henry, and up in North Carolina. And she's going in for some serious tests this week, too. That's the ones I remember. Oh, yeah, we done talked to him, though. Richard got down in Georgia and had all kind of a problem with hemorrhage. That's the word we got. And then... we were hoping to get word from him this morning about him, but we get him. So, welcome. And it was something to do with his lungs and the lung test this week, but he's smiling and his wife's smiling, so on the upswing here. And bless his heart. A lot of prayers, but a lot of kids joined in prayer for him. I think there's one over here. Oh.
Okay.
They call him Grandpa. All the kids call him Grandpa. Tyler's Grandpa.
Thank you.
put all these on the note cards, drop them off in place. We'll publish them.
Pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for worshiping God. Call to worship this morning can be found in the bulletin. It is responsive, if you please locate that. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise.
You do not delight in sacrifice,
or I would bring it.
You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit,
a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem.
Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you.
Let's all stand, turning their hymnals to hymn 21. Stand up, bless the Lord.
Lifting him up in prayer for healing. If you're close enough, just reach out and touch him. He don't know that I'm doing this, but I felt moved. Lord God, by your stripes we are healed. We claim that for Richard's physical healing. Lord God, we come standing before you to offer praise and adoration, expressing our faith in you and trying to use our voices and ourselves to give you honor and glory. Lord God, thank you that you care for us, you love us, Thank you that you sent Jesus to die for our sins, but thank you, Lord, that He also came to give us great life in this world. And He brought healing to infirmed bodies. And Lord, we remember Sonia, and we remember that Jesus brought help to those who mourned the death of a loved one. And Lord, we just come this morning thanking you for loving us and helping us, and thanking you that you sent someone to tell us about Jesus, that we could put our faith in Him for the living of these days, for guidance, but also for eternity, Lord, in eternity with you. So if we have gathered together, we pray for an outpouring of your Spirit, even an overabundance, if you feel pleased that you would send that to us. And Lord, we wait before you. We sing before you. We pray before you. And we know that you love us and care for us. And now we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we put our faith into words.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Service where we do come before God and confess our sins. The call to confession can be found in your bulletin. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. You join me in a prayer of confession. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Our assurance of forgiveness is from Psalm chapter 86, verse 5. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you.
To God be the glory is hymn 66, not 521. That was the secretary's mistake. Let's sing one and three. One and three.
Bulletin that on one side it has prayer for shelter, on the other side it has a litany for Christian Service Recognition Sunday. And we have three participants, three readers to assist us with the litany for Christian Service Recognition Sunday, and you should be able to find yourself somewhere in that litany or that prayer. But this is International Day of Prayer and Action for Habitat for Humanity, or Human Habitat. And Habitat for Humanity is one organization. How many of you have heard about Habitat for Humanity? How many of you have participated in building a habitat house? Okay, well, let's offer a prayer. And then we will offer a prayer for your service in the litany for those participating in Christian Service Act. Let us pray. Loving God, you made us in your image and blessed us with wisdom, creativity, skill, compassion, and love. Did you find it? Join with me in the people portion, if you will, or join with each other. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest, a place near your altar, O Lord. You have called us to share our food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when we see the naked, to clothe him. when you call upon the Lord, spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. The Lord will always guide you. He will satisfy your needs and strengthen you. He has showed you what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Transform our world and transform our hearts and minds. Make us into one people, your people, like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Amen.
Get us one Sunday at a time. Today you've given us all.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk, just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk with thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk with thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Feeble life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, gently o'er, to thy kingdom shore. To thy shore, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee.
Now you'll turn in your bulletin to the Litany for Christian Service. I think it's on the opposite side of the prayer we just did. My readers, you know who you are when it comes to your point, so just stand and read aloud, please. Part of this is also responsive for the congregation, so if you please follow along. Lord, we respond to your love for us by serving and loving others. We are reminded today that the kind words, thoughtful prayers, and service we volunteer in our schools, communities, and churches are ways we outwardly respond to your unconditional love for us. Today we remember all those who serve in the church, in the community, and in the world, sharing the grace that comes from being children of God. In a world that knows joy, celebration, and love in concert with pain, heartache, and isolation, we celebrate today the service of those who volunteer here through the mission and ministry of this church. We are grateful for your love, O God.
Thank you for these
service,
Lord.
We celebrate the people who serve in the kitchen, those who provide security at the church, those people who make the need of fun parts to prepare meals for mobile homes and homebound transfer plans. We celebrate those who take the pictures, keep the record, shelf the library books, buy supplies, clean up messes, and offer time and prayer for peace and reconciliation. We celebrate the children who light the candles and tickle our funny homes. Call us to the childlike reality that the purpose of life really is to serve one another. We celebrate all who share their heavenly talents and time for our sake without expecting reward from this life or any other.
We thank you for
these
servants, Lord. Sentence this morning. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Will our ushers please come forward? I may need six ushers, please. Yeah, I need six ushers, please. Come forward.
God, we have expressed thanks. We have prayed for the shelterless. And now we come again offering thanks to you for your generous blessings on material nature. And Lord, we pray that our material blessings would never become a curse to us, and that we would always see them as gifts from you that you have enabled us to obtain. We thank you for the privilege of being stewards of your creation, the world, and of this local facility here. Help us to be faithful, O Lord. Now bless us. Give us a willingness of heart to give, that your name might be glorified, the gospel might be shared, and help may be provided to those who need physical help. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
scripture lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The word of God for the people of God.
The sermon will be a bit different this morning. You have, as an insert, I trust, front and back, five steps to salvation. I began a few weeks ago, maybe the first of September, three Sundays ago, talking about evangelism, and evangelism being the number one priority of the church. Of course, glorifying God is our purpose, but evangelism is the greatest way, the greatest opportunity we have to bring glory. I have made copies. This is rather lengthy, I know, but I've made copies of most everything I will say today, and there are only about 9 or 10 copies right outside the sanctuary on the table between the two double doors, or two sets of double doors. And if you would like a copy, pick it up and take it with you. And I will do some more if all of these are gone when we leave. The other thing, if you are on a computer and on the internet, you can go to Evangelism Explosion. Evangelism Explosion. And just type that in, and you can find many websites concerning it. And one of them has the question, "Do you know?" I believe I'm remembering correctly. "Do you know?" And a question mark. And you can click on "Do you know?" Under Evangelism Explosion, and this will lead you to where we are right now. Of course, the introduction, down to "Do you know for sure?" or down to "Hear the question" is considered an introduction, and that is you won't find that in those words on that internet. That is my introduction. So, man has a problem. We do? Yes, we do. Man has a problem. People have a problem, whether they know it or not. And some people don't know it. The problem is alienation from God, or being separated from God. The situation is referred to in Acts chapter 15 as lost. Man is lost. In Acts chapter 15 is the parable that Jesus gave of the lost sheep. But it's also verse 8, 9, and 10 is the parable of the lost coin. And then 11 through the end of the chapter is the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, and the loving father who welcomed him home, and also the jealous brother who stayed at home and didn't want to welcome. We have to remember that part of our role in evangelism is not to act like that brother. Some examples in the Bible are what not to be like, and that brother, it's good to stay at home, but it's not good to be jealous when a lost one comes home. How the sheep come to be lost, we don't know. Man became lost, that is, in the parable. We don't know how the sheep became lost. He was just lost. And preachers have speculated and built on that one a lot. But man came to be lost through his disobedience. Adam did it. He disobeyed God, became separated, and his lostness is passed down to us. Jesus came to find us and restore us to God. Jesus is the shepherd going after lost sheep and taking us in his arms and transporting us back into the fold of God. How does it happen? How can we be sure that we are secure in God's family? Or how can we be sure that we're not still lost like the lost sheep? And second thought is, how can we lead other people to know God and His saving power? How can we help other lost people become found people? Dr. James Kennedy heard a question asked during a sermon. His bio says, it all began on a Sunday morning in 1953 when he was startled awake by a preacher's stern question on his clock radio. And this was the question: suppose you were to die today and stand before God and He were to ask you, what right do you have to enter into my heaven? What would you say? Dr. Kennedy soon discovered the answer. He became a believer in Jesus Christ, converted to Christ, and shortly thereafter, God called him into the gospel ministry. Dr. Kennedy developed a program called, an evangelism program called Evangelism Explosion. This was a program to help lay people as well as ministers to know how to lead people to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, and therefore know that their destiny is heaven and God's presence. Three goals to this sermon this morning. Goal number one is to help believers know for sure that they're going to heaven. So you who are believers, this is to help you know for sure that you're going to heaven. This is to help believers know how to lead a person to know Jesus as their Savior. And it'll take more than just hearing one sermon on it. You may need to read over and over and over and over, and then get with somebody to help you learn to lead somebody to the Lord. And then to help unbelievers to know how to be saved and therefore be assured that their future is with God, and to know Jesus as their Savior, know that their future is with God and Jesus. So here are the questions. Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven and be with God in heaven after this life? If you were to ask, or if someone was to ask you, if God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Maybe you're uncertain. Maybe you hesitate. And maybe you said, well, I haven't thought about that question. Maybe today we'll share the best news that you could ever hear. It just takes a few minutes and we will rush. But the Bible does tell us that we can know for sure that we are going to heaven. And here is what the Bible says, or here are five steps to salvation. Well, that's where I got the title. Heaven. Eternal life. It's a free gift. If we think we can earn it, we're mistaken. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. And in Christ Jesus is where we find it. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. probably a very familiar passage, Romans 6:23. And because heaven is a gift like any other genuine gift, it is not earned or deserved. It cannot be earned, and certainly we do not deserve it. Therefore, no amount of personal effort, no amount of good works, no amount of religious deeds can earn a place in heaven for us. The Bible says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. Even your faith is not of yourself. It, our faith, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why is it that no one can earn his way to heaven? We cannot earn our way to heaven because we are sinners. Man is a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul proclaimed that to the Roman church, but it's been proclaimed throughout Christendom. All have sinned. Well, what are we talking about sin? How did I sin? What is sin? Well, sin is transgressing God's law or disobeying God's law, and includes such things as lying and lust and cheating and deceit and anger, evil thoughts, as well as immoral behavior, but it's much more. And because of this, we cannot save ourselves. If you wanted to save yourself by your good deeds, do you know how good you would have to be? You would have to be perfect. The Bible says that you would have to live a life with no anger, no hate, no jealousy, nothing that goes against God's teaching or God's law. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus is speaking. Jesus' words, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. High standard, is it not? Perfect. And we say no one is perfect except Jesus. There's only one perfect, and they hung him on a tree. Right. We're not perfect. We can't be perfect of our own efforts. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumbleth in one point, just one mistake, is guilty of all. And that's written in James chapter 2. But in spite of our sin, God is merciful and doesn't want to punish us. Why doesn't He want to punish us? Because He is a loving God. God is love. And He says in Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Even when we sin, God has not quit loving us. But the same Bible that tells us that God loves us tells us also that God is just. And a just God cannot just overlook sin. He must punish sin. He says in Exodus 34, verse 7, I will by no means clear the guilty, or I will by no means just overlook their sin. And He says in Ezekiel 18, 4, that the soul that sinneth shall die. So we have a problem. A loving God who doesn't want to punish us, but a just God who cannot just overlook our sin. A God who must be true to Himself in His Word and His standard. The penalty of sin is death. And all have sinned and fallen short or come short of the glory of God. So, we must die for our sin unless there's a substitute, if you will. We need forgiveness. And that's what Jesus came to offer. We need forgiveness so that we can have this right relationship with God. Sin separated us from God, alienated us from God, but He sent Jesus to redeem us. God solved the problem of a loving God and a just God, and the two had a problem. We have sinned, and sin must be punished. but a loving God who doesn't want to punish us. He sent His own Son, Jesus the Christ, the infinite God-man, fully God and fully man. And Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And when He had paid the penalty, buried, He rose from the grave to purchase a place for us. Not somebody else, only, but for us. As well as all others who would believe. He paid the penalty, rose from the grave to purchase a place for us in heaven. And He offers it to us as a free gift. You say there's no free lunch? Well, there is with God. Jesus came to earth and lived a sinless life, but while on earth, He paid the penalty for our sin. And we receive Jesus and His gift of eternal life through faith. Faith is the key that opens the door to heaven. What are we talking about, faith? Well, saving faith is trusting Jesus alone for our salvation. Saving faith is resting upon Christ alone and what He did on Calvary. He died on Calvary. Rather than what we do or have done to get us into heaven. Because nothing we can do can get us there. Resting on Christ alone. So the invitation is this morning to receive the gift of eternal life. Transfer your faith from yourself to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we know that You love us. But we also know You to be a just God. We know that we could not be good enough to earn our way to heaven because we all have sinned. But Lord, You sent Jesus, who was without sin, to pay our penalty. And we just come humbly before You, Lord, to say thank You. And now we come, Lord, trusting and expressing that trust. Lord, we pray if there's one who does not know that they're going to heaven and this life is over, we pray, Lord, that they can come to that assurance right now by just trusting in Jesus. The song is "Just As I Am." The number sounds 342. Stand with me and let's sing together the first and the last stanza of "Just As I Am." You can put your trust in Jesus just where you are, or you can make your way here to the altar, putting your trust in Jesus and express that publicly also. That is the invitation. Thank you.
we thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending Jesus to redeem us. We thank you, Lord, that we have the hope of heaven. And that's not just wishing, O Lord. We know that when you talk about hope, that is anticipation and expectation with the assurance that you will fulfill your promise. Thank you again for Jesus. In His name, we offer ourselves. Amen.
Welcome. How's it going?